really appreciate your music and the pictures. And I really enjoyed the first one. It was such an appropriate thing for today's message. I enjoyed the scenery, the beautiful, some of the beautiful houses and some falling apart, and the song, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling the sinner, come home. Today we are at the end of our series on doctrines, Seventh-day Adventist teachings. Can you imagine it took us 10 months to cover all of them, 28 of them? And today is the last one on new heaven and new earth, something that we are waiting for, longing for. And those pictures were a good illustration of our falling apart lives, homes here that are ready to be transformed. And we are eager and ready to be transferred to our new heavenly, eternal home. Have you ever thought or imagined what heaven would be like? Besides the differences in understanding of the time when we will get to heaven, there is a lot of confusion and misunderstanding and speculation about what heaven is like. Will we sit around the clouds strumming the harps and singing hymns for all eternity? Will it be like a never-ending church service? No wonder so many people see heaven as a place of boredom and questioning, is that all there is? Many people want to go to heaven the way they want to go to Florida. The weather will be nice and the people will be decent. Some think of heaven as some kind of celestial retirement place. The Bible is full of many good promises, but perhaps the most wonderful one is this: eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Many things about heaven are beyond our comprehension. But one thing we can be sure of, that it will be a place where all our greatest longings will be fulfilled. It will be a place that will amaze us with its beauty. It will be a place where all the evil and bad things, greatest problems will be eradicated. It will be greater than we can ever imagine or dream. And Scripture says that God is busy preparing this place for us. Paul says that creation waits in eager expectation. Peter says, but in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness, when he's talking about the day when God will come and change things around here. The things God has revealed to us about heaven give us a beautiful picture about our eternal home. John is trying to describe his vision. Now I saw a new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth has passed away. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. He continues, her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. The wall was made of jasper, and city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. The street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. There are things, even in this broken world, that we wonder about and that take our breath away. If this world can be so wonderful, can you imagine what must heaven be like? John does his best, you know, in his effort to describe his vision about new heaven. But he's limited with the language and the experience. This is something that he has never seen before, never experienced before. The gold that is there, described there, is just a paving stone, paving material. Jewels are just a foundation stones. The things of greatest value in this world that people are striving for and killing each other for, it's just the building material over there. The very best that this world can offer is only a shadow of what it was intended for us and what is going to be in new heaven and new earth. The precious stones demonstrate the magnificence and glory and beauty of the place. The walls, the gates, give the impression and guarantee of the security. The gatekeepers that are at the gates, that welcome us and assist us, create the sense of welcoming environment. The measurements assure us that there is room for all God's people. No one will be left out. John continues, a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. One on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. The greatest reward of heaven will be God Himself. There'll be nothing that will separate us anymore. There'll be no sinful nature that is between us now. And John says, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God. Finally, the Lord's Prayer will have the fulfillment in its essence. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Of course, one of the greatest blessings of new heaven and new earth will be something that will not be there. And John tells us that God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for former things have passed away. And that's just the beginning. Imagine no curse, no disease, no suffering, no trials, no missing children, no depression or economic downfalls, no wars, no unemployment, close friendships but no cliques, laughter but no put-downs, intimacy but no temptation to immorality, no hidden agendas, no backroom deals, no betrayals. All the wrongs of this world will be made right. It will be a place of righteousness where evil will be absent and everything of good origin will prevail. Maybe today you're trying your heart. You're pleasing God. You're trying to be faithful to God. You have done your best. You have kept your life from major sin. Yet nothing has gone right for you. Your health is deteriorating. Your finances are even worse. Your children made bad choices. Your relationships are unfulfilling. And you're tempted to say with psalmist, surely in vain I have kept my heart pure. In vain have I washed my hands in innocence. Justice does not happen very often in this world. But God says through Isaiah, behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. He goes on to say, they shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit there. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree, so shall be the days of my people, and my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Every wrong done to you in this world will be made right. Every injustice will be corrected, and every sorrow will be reversed. Every sacrifice you have made will be remembered. Every rejection will be compensated with an explosion of love. Every work will be rewarded, and every good thing you have done will be honored and recompensed. I assume that many of you are familiar with the song Tears in Heaven. The story behind is that Eric Clapton lost his 5-year-old son when he fell off their 49th floor Manhattan apartment. And he expressed his grief in the song that he wrote, Tears in Heaven. And in that song, he asks questions. Would you know my name if I saw you in heaven? Would it be the same if I saw you in heaven? It is the question that all of us, many people in this world, would like to hear the answer to. God promises to renew our relationships, and He will reunite those who have been faithful to Him and lived for Him and loved Him. Our relationships will not be lost. He will redeem them, regain them, and renew. On the earth, here, we let each other down. We hurt each other, not even sometimes knowing it. We fail each other. We disappoint each other. But John says, dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him. The fact that the heaven will be a place, a home to every nation, tribe, language, and people indicates that we will retain our differences, our national and cultural distinctiveness or uniqueness. Though we'll be united by our love for our Savior King, we'll also rejoice and celebrate the differences, that is, the evidence and tribute to our King's creativity and His multifaceted character. Some people have a wrong idea that when we get to heaven, we immediately will know everything and all our questions will be answered. The fact that Jesus will make everything new opens the opportunity for limitless exploration and discovery. And we'll have all the eternity to explore the wealth of knowledge and wisdom of God and discover many new things in the new heaven and new earth. C.S. Lewis, in his book, The Chronicles of Narnia, in his closing chapter, entitled Further Up and Further In, describes Aslan, a lion who represents Christ, coming to take His people home And one of the characters cries out, "I have come home at last. This is my real country. I belong here. This is the land I have been looking for all my life, though I never knew it till now." Paul describes the eager expectation of the promised new home by God's creation. And he says, all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children are. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised us. I believe that when we enter that real new heaven and new earth, our true home will say, "This is the land I have been looking for all my life." At that time, we will say with the psalmist, "Surely I have a delightful inheritance." But while we are still here on this earth, eagerly expecting our new home, there is something that God expects from us. God expects our loyalty. He who overcomes will inherit all this, John says, "And I will be his God, and he will be my son. Nothing impure will enter it. Nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur." God encourages us through Paul to fix our eyes not only on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Because what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. We know, at least in a small way, what it is like to expect or to be expectant. We, through our life, have some experience of that. Think of a wedding, which is quite an imagery in the book of Revelation when it talks about the end time events. When the preparation for the wedding is done and all the preliminaries are over and the prelude is finished, there's a moment of silence, and everybody turns around in expectation, awaiting for the bride to enter in all her beauty. Expectancy is waiting those long 9 months for the baby to arrive into this world. It is waiting for the serviceman or servicewoman or a loved one who has been away from home for so long to arrive on the plane or a train, and it seems that it's so slow, taking so long. Expectancy is coming to a prayer meeting for rain and bringing your umbrella with you not to get wet after the prayer meeting. Jesus says, "Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done." And today, he is extending his invitation to every one of us. Come. Come and experience his new home that he's building for us. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. As we dream about our new home, the new heavens and new earth, this morning I encourage you to sing this closing hymn with a great expectation of what is waiting for us in the future. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of him in glory will the toils of life repay. Onward to the prize before us, soon his beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open. We shall tread the streets of gold. Let this encourage us in our journey here and the vision and dream before us be our inspiration as we'll be reunited with our Lord and Creator soon. Dear Father in heaven, we can't wait to get to heaven where we'll shout the victory. We thank you for giving us a glimpse of what we can expect in the future home, our new heaven and earth. We thank you for sustaining us in our spiritual journey here. We're looking forward to the day when you'll come and change things around. And there'll be no more suffering and separation, no more sickness. And we will be reunited with our loved ones, and especially with you. But until then, Lord, help us to be true and faithful, serving, trusting every day. Help us to keep our faith and trust in you and share it with others until you come. We thank you for preparing such a wonderful place for us. In Jesus' name, amen.